Good to see everyone out this evening. Again, it's good always to come together and study God's Word. You have the opportunity to do so. So far, I think since we started this year, I've been trying on the Sunday evening lessons to bring out lessons that go along with the daily reading that I put out. And so we ventured into Revelation. We'll see what lessons I'm able to bring out from it. At the beginning of Revelation, it's easier to bring out some lessons. So I'm going to be talking about being lukewarm, that it's brought out from Revelation chapter 3, and there in verse 16, Revelation 3, looking there at verse 16. As it reads there, it says, "So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Bringing out a point about church here. If you go back up to verse 14 and read your way to that, it says, "And to the angel of the church of the Lacedaemonians write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, and having become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eyes of salt, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." Throughout these letters to the church, it is common that they would draw out the point that they needed to repent, bringing out the points that they were in the wrong. And you could say easily the lukewarmness could kind of be applied to some of the other congregations, because they all seem to be partially in a good, but he also brings out something that they are lacking in. You know, we don't think have a problem with understanding what lukewarm means. As he says, you're neither cold nor hot. Rather, you're kind of that room temperature, you're that lukewarmness that just doesn't go well with about anything that you want. And we like things cold, we like things hot. Not many things, we just go right there in that in-between spot. So as we take that mindset and we apply it to our spiritual walk with God, we need to see what it is we can learn from it. So first thing I want to bring out this evening, thinking about the mindset of being lukewarm, is that in me, spiritually, there's not a middle ground. And we don't want to get caught up trying to straddle the fence. There's too many that have that concept, this mindset that they can be on both sides, that they can be with God and with the world, that they can have the best of both worlds, right? Have the best of the things of the world and enjoy their life with it, but also wants to still be a Christian and have that home in heaven and be able to go to God in prayer and to have all the blessings that come from being a child of God. If you open up your Bibles with me, and turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, and looking there in verse 30. As you read here in Matthew 12, verse 30, it reads, it says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." So either we are with our Lord or we're against him. He says, one way or the other. It's not, not against you, but I'm not with you. You know, people want to make that point. Well, I'm not here and I'm not there. I'm kind of like right in between. I'm on the fence. Jesus doesn't say there's that opportunity. There's not an in-between for you to be. You know, I can't remember if it was just a comment that I saw or someone else that had pointed out, but the mindset that people want to be on the fence, they want to be on it when it's technically a guardrail trying to keep us in, keep us from going over. But as they straddle that fence, saying, "I'm here,
am here. I'm on both sides. I'm not really against the Lord. I'm not with the Lord. But when it comes to that day of judgment, that mindset here is that if we're not with the Lord, then in the end we'll find out that the fence belongs to the devil. In the end, the fence belongs to Satan. And if you're on the fence, then you're with him. You're against God. Because we know that as we stand against the Lord, we become enemies of his. You know, we turn to James, and they're adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. What side do you choose? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and looking there in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14, says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with them? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? You know, it's bringing out that we cannot be on both sides. Christ cannot be with Satan. You know, when they accused Jesus to be casting out demons by the power of the head demon himself, by Satan, by Baal, he took offense to it. He brought the point of blaspheme on the Holy Spirit. He has no part with it. Light has no part with darkness. A believer has no part with none. That we have fellowship and we're one and we're agreeance that their life is okay, that their life will continue merry on its way, that they can just continue in sin, and we make that point that they're okay. And we believe that they're fine. So then we're not with the true believers, those who are following Christ, because he told us that these things are wrong. Look at a few examples throughout the scriptures that kind of point this out. Matthew 7, verse 21, where it says, not all who say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Many of me will say that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice falsehood. Again, here in the mindset that they're willing to say, Lord, Lord, they're willing to call him God, they're willing to do work in his name. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't, you know, they can't have it both ways. Their hearts were in the wrong spot. They were doing these things for selfishness. They were not truly keeping the commands of God. Much as you might see in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, they were worshiping our God, worshiping our Lord. But what does it say? It says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You know, again, you can't have it, well, I'm doing this in the name of God, I'm up here teaching in his name, but then you teach something that does not line up with the scripture. You can't have it both ways. 1 Samuel chapter 15, go and look at King Saul. 1 Samuel, in chapter 15, as he was commanded to utterly destroy the Amalekites. He went forth and he had done some work, and done most of it, you might say. And in mindset of men, that it could really be close to being completely destroyed. But he brings back some livestock, he brings back the king. And so Samuel comes and questions him. In verse 18, it says, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. And why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why do you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed. I did what you told me to. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me. Brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder of the sheep, oxen, the best of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Again, here this concept. You know, we've got the livestock, I've done the work, but you know, we brought the animals back to make the sacrifice. And so in verse 22 it says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? But behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better. Again, are sacrifices in themselves a bad thing? No, that's what they were commanded to do. They were to keep sacrifices back then. They were to do it. There was free will sacrifices that were to be made. But it had to be done correctly. It had to be done according to His commands. They had to keep His commands. And to take something that God told you to destroy and not to bring back, and to use that for your sacrifice, then you're going against His commands to try to worship. As so many try to today to take the Lord's Supper on a different day than the first day of the week in which the Word of God commands. I'm trying to worship God, but we're going to do it my way and not God's way. Not the way He has instructed it to be done. Would that not fall in the same category here as we think about Saul and what they've done? Well, we're doing the work of God, but yet we're doing it just a little bit different. Hey, you can go back to Leviticus 10 and think about Nadab and Abihu there and the mindset when they made that fire for the Lord. And it says it was a strange fire which the Lord made it not. Again, we're not given instructions at that time. We have not seen the law and how the incense and the fire. It was strange. It is something that the Lord had not yet commanded. So the fire came out and consumed. We are either with the Lord or against Him. Again, one I always struggle with there in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 7. As Uzzah reads up, the ark is slain. It's about to fall down. This is the ark of the covenant. This is the ark of God. This is the ark that has the tablets of stone. This is the ark that has the staff. It's just, I mean, precious. Designed by God. Don't want it to fall. Don't want it to break. Don't want it to get dirty. I'm going to keep it from falling. Do a good deed to help God's ark from falling down. What happened to Uzzah? Uzzah was struck down. The anger of the Lord is aroused against Uzzah was struck down. Now again, you got everything that's leading up to that because they're not carrying it the correct way. They decided to put it up on carts instead of having the priest carry it. And then no one's supposed to touch it other than the rods that go through the poles that God designed it to be carried a certain way. Again, we get caught up in our attention. My intentions was good. My intentions was right. But we get caught up in this middle ground, this lukewarmness of doing things partial and not fully giving ourselves over to God. We need to have passion for God. We need to be zealous for our Lord. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Titus chapter 2, and looking there in verse 14, it brings out here, speaking about our sacrifice of our Lord and Savior who gave Himself for us. Jesus gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify. Now again, what we think about, He died for us so that He can redeem us. We can be children of God. We can be brothers in Christ. And He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. And you know, we are Christians and we come to worship and we are Christians. We obey the gospel. Then how do we show our passion for God? How do we show Him our thanks? Do we truly have a zeal for good works? Do we show that we are a special, purified, clean people of God's? People see the good that comes from us, the fruits of the Spirit pouring out. Because we are zealous for good works. We are on fire for the Lord. We're like here in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, if you will. Isaiah chapter 8 or chapter 6, verse 8. And as, again, the Lord speaking out, calling for someone to do the work. It says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me." How many of us are sitting and waiting for the opportunity to do it? Sitting and waiting for the opportunity to do good. When you hear that you know, when a post is made, whether in the text or on Facebook, and we see something is needed to be done. We need a volunteer to go and do this. Or we see that someone needs assistance on that. Or when we come here and we look at the duty roster and we see that someone's not here, we're quick to sign my name and say, I'll fill in. We are saying, I'm here. Send me. I'm here. I will do the work. It's always kind of, let's wait a little bit. See if anybody else will do it. And if not, then I might say, zealous for good works. How much do you love God? Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. And again, I know hopefully most can probably quote this, maybe not knowing exactly where it's at, but can quote the verse, knows what it says though. Matthew 22 and verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Again, how much do we really love our God? Can you say you love Him with all, with everything? All your heart is to God. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. We love Him with everything. Serving Him, wanting to obey Him, wanting to make Him happy, wanting to be with Him, longing to do His work. It says we love God and we love Him with all we have, with all our heart, soul, and mind, that we are going to pass that, let it work through us, that we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we're going to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and do good unto them as much as possible, be peaceful among all. First Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Looking there at verses 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 9. Looking at verse 24 and 25. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not as uncertainty, but thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Again, do we discipline ourselves as Paul is saying he is done, so that he can compete as no others do, that he can compete as one who is running and competing for a prize, a crown of righteousness, a home in heaven, to be there with God forever? And so we need to check ourselves. We need to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, and ask ourselves, are we lukewarm? Are we serving God with passion, with zeal? Do we love our God, our Lord, with all our heart, soul, and mind? And I there's a variety of things in which we can sit there and ask that about. Do I love my God and how I serve Him? And am I zealous in how I serve Him when I'm out in the world? And again, it tells us that when we serve and we're at work and we you know, as you serve your masters, don't do it as men pleasers, eye service. Serve them in the master, you know the Lord is watching you. No, how passionate, how zealous, how good of work do we do outside of this world? Do we show our love to our neighbor? Do we show love to our enemies? Do we teach our children? Do we love our spouse? We can talk about our worship. Is our singing with warmth? Is our singing with zeal? Is our desire to be here as we assemble with our brothers and sisters in Christ passionate and zealous, that we're excited when Sunday comes around, we're excited when Wednesday comes around, we're excited when we have a gospel meeting and ready to be here, ready to serve and to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ? There's a lot of things in which we need to make sure we're serving our Lord with all that we have, all that He's blessed us with, our heart, soul, and our mind. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you desire to obey the gospel, the opportunity is here tonight. We want to extend it to you. If you're here and you need prayers of the brethren, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known.